hello, Craig.
Craig's on time. Craig's really gotten his shit together the last few weeks. You got to give him that.
Shows up instantly. It's like Sanka.
Yeah, it's TH Fantasy episode 51. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. How you doing, bud?
Doing all right. Just had our few hours of recording the last stuff, so we're on the final stretch.
Yeah, it's a long day for us, but it gets me super prepared for Sunday. And that's true. We got an early game this week, foggy London town.
Oh, I'm so excited to just watch football from like 8 in the morning until like 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Vikings and Saints, Jameis Winston just got downgraded to out. So
yeah,
it's going to be a shitty game.
It's going to be the Red Rocket. That's why I picked up Minnesota defense and work league.
I like that. That's pretty smart. So yeah. Let's do our 51s. We got a couple fun things to do today. We're going to start with our 51s. So take it away, Ryan. Tell me about your 51.
So in honor of Jacksonville being who I thought they were going to be this year.
You were right.
So far, they had that crazy blowout against the Chargers last week and blanked them.
Yep.
Couldn't believe it. I mean, granted, Herbert was coming back from that whatever rib injury or whatever, but still. So in honor of the Jacksonville coming out show, we're honoring Mr. Famous number 51, Paul Posluszny.
Ooh, the Posluster.
Yeah. 11 seasons in the NFL. It was drafted by Buffalo.
Huh.
He played like the first few seasons with Buffalo. He was okay, but his real career started when he started playing for Jacksonville. He's a relatively, if you all don't know, I mean, he retired in the late teens, like 2015 or 2016, something like that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
So he's a recent player. He was a force as a defensive linebacker.
Yeah.
He finished his career 1,214 tackles, 16 sacks, 15 interceptions, 51 pass deflections, only one touchdown.
Still pretty cool.
And his touchdown that he scored in his career actually ties into a guy I talked about last week, Rob Ninkovich, who it's in the fact that he got his touchdown against Mark Sanchez, who Ninkovich got a touchdown against Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that's super fun.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. He's born in Pennsylvania. Naturally, went to Penn State from 03 to 06.
So don't ask him if he supports Joe Paterno, because you're probably not going to like the answer.
Right. In one of those games in 2005, his junior year playing for Penn State against Northwestern, he had 22 tackles.
Damn.
Yeah. 372 career college tackles altogether.
It's a lot of tackles.
Actually, I lied. His first career touchdown was not against Mark Sanchez. His first career sack was against Mark Sanchez.
That's okay. Sanchez is
right.
Sanchez.
Right. Right, so it still ties into Ninkovich from last week. In 2012, he set the Jacksonville single season franchise record with 139 tackles on the season.
That's so many tackles.
That's a lot. It's not close to the record, I don't think, because that's like what, close to 200 maybe, 160, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
139 tackles, 106 solos, still the Jaguars franchise record. In 2013, he's one of the few people who can say, here, this is why I was thinking about his touchdown, all right? Because his one touchdown was a pick six. Take a guess who it was against. Somebody very famous.
Drew Brees.
No, Peyton Manning.
All right, okay.
59-yard touchdown.
Peyton Manning.
In his only career touchdown against Peyton Manning.
He got puzzled.
Yep. 2015, good game against New England. He had 18 tackles.
Wow.
Very good defensive player, standout number 51, Paul Posluszny.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
The Posluszter.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do my 51, and I was super tempted to just talk about, you know, Chicago Bears legend, Hall of Famer, Twitter shit poster, Dick Butkus.
Right.
But it's Dick Butkus. He's a legend. I don't need to talk about him. If you don't know Dick Butkus, just watch Dick Butkus tape.
Right.
I'm going to talk about a player who wore jersey number 51 that's just the opposite of Dick Butkus. Terry Crews, the actor Terry Crews.
You know, I saw his name on the list, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do him. But I saw that he was there. I didn't know that he wore number 51.
He, and we'll talk about it, but he had a... I was actually very surprised at how much I found out about Terry Crews while I was doing this research. So
okay.
He was born in Flint, Michigan. His mom was 18 when he was born. And before we make any assumptions, because look at him. I mean, the guy's fucking beef. He got a scholarship to Western Michigan University, an art scholarship.
Really?
He took 8 years of flute lessons growing up.
What?
Yeah. So before he went away to school, my understanding, like, I don't know the timing, but I know for a fact that this happened. He was a courtroom sketch artist in Flint.
Really?
Yeah. So he went to Western Michigan University on an art scholarship and then tried out for the football team and got a full scholarship.
Damn.
He was drafted in the 11th round of the 1991 draft. Drafted by the Rams. He played on the Rams, Packers, Eagles, Washington, and the Chargers. He was always like a practice squad guy or like a, you know, a preseason guy.
Sure.
He played in NFL Europe in 1995.
Damn.
So you know, he was like moving on and not staying in places for very long. So he wasn't making a lot of money, and he would supplement his income by drawing commissioned portraits of his teammates.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. He was drafted in 91. He retired in 97. He had appeared in 32 games and made 3 tackles.
Wow.
So after leaving and retiring, he wrote an anti-drug short movie, and it's so small that there's not even a Wikipedia page for it. he got his break doing Old Spice commercials, as I'm sure we all remember.
Yeah.
That was his first break, were the Old Spice commercials.
Really?
Yeah. So he was Ice Cube's security guard and then parlayed that into an acting gig in the movie Friday After Next.
Oh, yeah.
And then his breakout role, the movie that's considered his breakout role, is White Chicks.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but...
You're missing out, man. and then after seeing White Chicks and Friday After Next... Adam Sandler rewrote a character in his Longest Yard remake so that Terry Crews could play that character.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah. And so he's done a bunch of different genres. Like, he's done comedy. He was, if you recall, he was President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho in Idiocracy.
Yes. His most famous role and best role.
He was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, that one's good, too. I love him in that.
He's been in a million action movies. He was in The Expendables. And listen to this. I didn't know this. From 2014 to 2015, he was the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Oh, really?
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
So there's somehow even more to Terry Crews than football, art, and acting. So let's just do it really quick. He wrote an autobiography in 2014, and in it he talked about the porn addiction he had to go to rehab for.
Damn.
He got into crypto in 2021. he actually was one of the few celebrity male voices that spoke out against Hollywood sexual assault during the Me Too movement.
Okay.
He had an inappropriate incident with an executive, and he was afraid that if he came forward that he would lose acting work, and so they didn't file any charges because the statute of limitations ran out, and the executive was part of the Expendables franchise, so he left the crew and didn't appear in any of the newer movies.
Wow.
So Terry Crews is an absolute fucking renaissance man. You know what I mean? He's done a million different things, and I always thought he was cool, but like as I read more and more of this, he went from like guy that's like in the background of shit that I see that I think like, yeah, he's a cool guy, into like, damn, this dude's done a lot of stuff.
Into president of the United States of America in 2521.
I love his message to Congress when he fires the semi-automatic rifle. And he's just like, shit. I want more presidents to start off their State of the Union.
Listen, we got this guy. We got this guy. Not sure. And he's going to fix all the crops.
In 1 week.
In 1 week.
Oh, man. Idiocracy is a weird movie to rewatch these days, but like at the time, man, very few movies were fucking funnier.
I think it still holds up. I think it's freaking hilarious.
I'll have to rewatch it. It's been a long time. So let's move on to part two. We are 3 weeks into the season, and Ryan, there were 5 wide receivers drafted in the first round this year.
Yes.
And honestly, they've all looked really good.
Yeah.
And so I would like you, and then I'll do it after you, I would like you to rank for me the first round rookie wide receivers for the rest of this season.
How they'll finish in terms of fantasy points?
That is correct.
Okay.
So it's London, Drake London, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jahan Dotson. So Ryan, why don't you go ahead and rank those bad boys for me?
I'm really on the Olave train. I'm ranking Olave as number one.
Wow.
I think he's going to finish the year as number one.
Wow.
As soon as Winston gets healthy, we're going to have, he's just going to start slinging the ball again. Hopefully it happens sooner than later. As we all know, Dalton's playing this week. It'll actually be pretty interesting to see if there's still that chemistry there with Dalton. I don't know if they're going to change the game plan. I really don't think so. Dalton still can sling the ball. He's just not who he used to be.
Sure.
Number two, as long as Mariota stays healthy, I'm really digging London. I'm really digging London. I like his play this year. Really good.
Yeah.
He's kind of taking some shit away from Pitts, but you know, we'll see. I like him. Number three's tough. And right now, I think I'm going Dotson, because it seems like that trio they have in Washington is just jiving really good outside of last week's game. But the first 2 weeks of the season, I mean, Dotson was like the number two next to Samuel.
Yeah.
And McLaurin was like the number three. I'm really liking Dotson. Number four is going to be Treylon Burks.
Low for Treylon Burks.
Yeah, but he's going to have, I agree with you, he's going to have his breakout game this week, I think, against Indy. And so that leaves the last one would be Wilson from the Jets. I think he developed some chemistry with Flacco early, and I don't know if it's going to carry over to playing with Wilson. I think it's Wilson's going to revert back to more. I like more with
Zach Wilson as quarterback.
Yeah, okay. Zach Wilson. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Wilson kind of gets stepped back a little bit as the year progresses. That's just my opinion.
So for you, it's Olave, London, Dotson, Burks, and Wilson.
Correct.
Okay. So I am going to actually, we're actually very different here. I am going to go with Drake London, number one, because he's doing it, you know? And I think that it's going to be close. My two is Treylon Burks. And so I don't want to talk about them separate, because I think what's going to make both of them fantasy viable as weekly starts within the next few weeks is just their target share and the percentage of their offenses that are going to go through them. Like, well, the reason why I'm forecasting the Treylon Burks breakout sooner than later is because he's already started the AJ Brown role. Last week you saw him running the AJ Brown routes, and they eased him in. Like, London's come in from the jump and crushed it, and I think Burks is now picking up steam, and I think both of these guys end the year with like 28% target share, like something stupid high.
I easily for Burks. I mean, there's no one else to throw to. The Westbrook Akine is not coming out of anywhere.
No, and sure. Robert Woods is cooked.
Right.
My number three is Garrett Wilson, and it's Garrett Wilson because we've gotten a chance to see some of his route running ability. And I think that as the Jets find themselves in more and more unwinnable games, you're going to see Garrett Wilson running from everywhere all over the field. I see Wilson being used kind of like the way the Dolphins are using Tyreek, where it's like, just put you anywhere. Whereas Elijah Moore is more of a slot receiver. Garrett Wilson can play everywhere and just fucking cook dudes. My number four is Chris Olave. I think Olave is a great receiver, and I think he's going to be awesome, but I just think the Saints offense is so bad. You know, he's going to be the king of air of unrealized air yards because he's going to be getting 70-yard passes that are intercepted constantly.
Yeah.
But I think Olave, if the Saints got a more productive quarterback, I think Olave would really, really take another step forward. And
I just like that Olave's getting those like double digit targets.
Oh, he's great. And I'm just hoping that the quality of those targets will go up.
Yeah.
And then my last guy is Jahan Dotson, and that's no reflection on Dotson because you can look at any of my dynasty teams. I have Dotson everywhere. I love Jahan Dotson. He's fucking awesome. But yeah, he's got 10 catches on the year and three of them are touchdowns. Like, that's not sustainable. I want to start seeing him get 10 targets a game like Olave does. And I think that we're going to end up seeing at least three of these wide receivers averaging double digit targets by the end of the year. And it's going to be fucking awesome.
Hell yeah. Really quick, I got a regular fantasy question for you.
All right, lay it on me.
I'm in a conundrum, all right, this week in work league. I don't know who to start in my flexes, all right? Right now, let's see. So I've got Josh Allen, Taylor, Breece Hall, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk. I'm starting Dawson Knox. I'll take him out if he doesn't play. I've got the Vikings defense, and I've got Dallas' kicker. I have, right now, and my flexes, I have Melvin Gordon and Rashad Bateman. Would you take any of those players out and put in Dylan, Olave, or Smith-Schuster?
I'd put A.J. Dillon in over Melvin Gordon any day of the week.
Okay. And the only reason I'm taking out Olave this week is because we don't know what he's going to be like with Dalton. And I think the Vikings, and I'm also starting the Vikings defense.
And no, I think that's a smart play. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a shitty, I think Vikings defense might even get a pick six.
The problem with, or the strength actually, I think for Bateman is that he has been shown to be a guy that they're going to look to deep. So he only needs to get open once or twice to return on investment and put up 60, 70 yards. And it's Lamar Jackson. I mean, I know Buffalo is great, but this is strength on strength. So you got to expect that Lamar, you're not going to shut him out. It doesn't work like that.
True. So, I only had Melvin Gordon in because the Vegas gives up so much. Vegas gives so much points up to running backs. And honestly, what was it? New England's defense is like fifth in terms of giving the least fewest fantasy points to running backs. But I'm going to go with what you said. I'm going to put Dylan back in and take Gordon out.
I think that's the smart move. And it's full PPR. So like,
right.
And Dylan's been catching passes too, man.
Yeah. And Rodgers might have to do that this week. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So we are back to our tradition. now that Ryan's back in the swing of things and he's not off the grid for the Sunday slate of games, we can return to our favorite segment,
Ryan's Stone Cold Shitty Mid-Tier Tight End of the Week.
All right, so this one's going to seem obvious. He's only 4,600 on FanDuel, but he's going to have more than five targets this week, and I'm calling it right now, he's going to have a touchdown against the Bears, Mr. Daniel Bellinger, someone who I've been talking about for months.
Daniel Bellinger is a guy that Ryan loved in the pre-draft process. You can find it on tape. We got a record of it. I didn't even scout him. He wasn't even in. I scouted like 10 tight ends and he wasn't even on the list.
And honestly, I was shocked. I kind of knew the narrative because Ingram left to go to Jacksonville. And I was like, well, who the hell is going to be their pass catching tight end?
Right.
And this guy just fit in perfect. And 2 weeks ago, he had his first career catch, which was a touchdown, only target, but still. It puts some faith in Daniel Jones to look his way.
He's so efficient.
And then last week, caught four or five targets for 40 yards. He's going to have more than five targets, especially because Sterling Shepard is now out for the season, which was a crazy play. I don't know if you saw that ACL.
Yeah, it
was crazy. I had a parlay going. I had Bellinger's over on receiving yards, Shepard's over on receiving yards, and two of the other guys, and I hit them all, but I needed that one last catch from Shepard where he tore his ACL, and I was like 7 yards short, and he got like 10 yards on it. It put me over, but it was sad to see him go out.
Yeah, but he's a hero, man. He sacked up for you, and he was right. Like, I'm going to get Ryan these points.
Yep.
So, because he wanted to save you from the pain.
Right. You know? Well, it was that Monday night game, and if I wouldn't have cashed that, I won like $35 on the parlay. My whole weekend would have been a wash because we did so bad in gambling show.
You know who didn't do bad was our DFS lineup.
No, yeah, our Superflex, right?
Yep. And if you recall, a bunch of my cheap guys went off last week.
Yeah, yeah. We doubled up. We turned $5 into $10.
We sure did, and we don't keep records of that shit. We spent 2 hours earlier, 3 hours earlier in the day doing that shit.
Right.
So let's put together a super flex team. And
sure,
and
but really quick, I got a couple more guys we can keep on your radar for later in the season.
Okay.
Dallas tight ends. I think they're going to be done with Schultz at the end of the season. Some guys to watch: Mr. Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot. Hendershot last week, 3 of 3 targets, 43 yards. He may only translate with Cooper Rush, but it's promising to see.
It's weird though, because like Jake Ferguson got like all the snaps,
right? He had less yards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're talking Ferguson is actually a lot better than Calcaterra, or not Calcaterra, Hendershot.
Yeah.
Calcaterra is another guy I was talking about this week. Grant Calcaterra with Philly.
That's your boy. Yeah.
If Goddard goes down, Calcaterra's going to be there.
Yeah, right. And that's an RPO offense with a lot of quick outs to the tight end. Like,
yep, short passes. Yep. So just some guys to watch out for.
I love it.
Yeah.
So that's our first yearly installment of Ryan's Stone Cold Shitty Tight End of the Week.
All these guys were 4,600 or less. I want to say Hendershot was like 41, Ferguson was 42 or 43, Calcaterra same, I think.
So just
ways to save you money and pay up in other positions that are more worth a shit in DFS.
Yep, it's just a money saving technique. It's not supposed to.
Yeah, because if you're not going to play Andrews or Kelsey, you might as well pay down and get some money other places.
Exactly. All right. So we are going to make a super flex lineup and continue our hot streak.
You want to do super flex? Sure.
I mean, stick with what works, right?
Let's see what we got here.
All right. So we're going to do our super flex lineup. It's a 476 person entry. It's $5. And Last week we hit. So we hit with Zeus White, by the way.
Yeah, who got 0 points.
we cashed. I know. After we put in the lineups, it was like, Josh Jacobs is playing. And I'm like,
right,
can't change it. It's too late. Yep. We have it on tape. So let's look at our super flex team here real quick. Do we do anything other than Josh Allen?
Because
I think he has to be part of it.
Yeah, okay. He was last week, right?
Right.
Another real question is, do you want to go in the same game and pick Allen and Jackson, Allen Mahomes?
I like Allen Mahomes. I like Allen and Hurts. I actually like, I don't mind Allen and Herbert.
You don't think that game's going to get out of control? And
it's possible.
He just won't have to pass?
Allen and Mahomes are the two best plays.
All right, let's do that.
So then we match them with Kelce and Diggs because that's just what you do. That's how you play fantasy football.
Okay.
And then now we got to look.
We're going to have to go cheap.
I think we go cheap at receiver.
I don't even think we'll be able to afford any of the top running backs.
Depends on how cheap we go at receiver. We watched ourselves cash with a 0 point play.
Yeah, that's true.
And so when I look at people like Noah Brown at 5,200 or Romeo Dubs for 5,300, I think that's a great cheap option.
Yeah, let's get Dubs in there. He's going to have a week. I'm sure of it.
All right.
Rodgers has got some new established rapport with this guy. He had almost, what, he had 10 targets last week, right? And a touchdown.
He had a lot. I see cheap running backs. I see Damian Pierce. I see Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil Herbert at 6K is just awesome.
Yeah. I don't like how the prices are different for the Superflex.
Yeah, it's tough. You have to kind of do your own risk-reward analysis right there.
Actually, that saves us a decent amount for the last two positions.
And as if it could be any wilder, Jamal Williams is cheaper in Superflex than he is on the main slate. He's 6,500 in Superflex.
Wow.
So if we went Herbert and Williams, we would still have 6,400 for our flex spot.
Let's do it.
Which gives us DJ Moore, who I want no part of.
No.
Damian Harris, who I want no part of. Amari Cooper, who I like, and Curtis Samuel, who you like. Ryan, what are we going to do here? Cooper or Samuel?
That Dallas game could turn into a stinker and be like 13 to 10.
It could.
Let's go with the hot hand. Cooper's pretty hot right now, and they're playing Atlanta. That's going to be hopefully a shootout.
This looks like a really fun lineup, man. We got Josh Allen, Khalil Herbert, Jamal Williams, Stephon Diggs, Romeo Dubs, Travis Kelce, Amari Cooper, Patrick Mahomes. In a 500-person field, this feels really good.
Yeah, right?
Then we're going to do that. And with that, I think we're done, man. We're really putting in good work.
Yeah, right?
We're being efficient. We're flying to the ball. Then I guess before we go, Ryan, do you have any hot takes that you could give the people before we head out?
Hot takes. Let's see. As I said earlier, I think Minnesota is going to blow out New Orleans tomorrow in foggy London town. I really think Minnesota is going to, and we're going to see, the return of Mr. Jefferson. He's going to have over 100 yards tomorrow, I think.
Okay. And my hot take before we head out is an AJ Brown touchdown.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a millionaire bet. Oh, yeah. Josh Allen will rush for more than 40 yards so I can get my millionaire bet again and roll that up, keep that rolling. And if it hits this week, I may just have to play it every week. We'll see. And I'll just play the run rush yards and I'll either pick whether it's under or over.
That's
what I took the over. I took the over again this week. Well, 39.5, I think so. That, like I said earlier on the DFS show, there's going to be that remnants of that hurricane going through the Baltimore area and may just turn into a high-scoring run game. We'll see.
Love it. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for coming. We'll see you next week with episode 52. Good luck. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Have a good week, everyone.
Good night. Puzzluster.